Okay, so this week we are wrapping up our Best Picture series with a film that I don't think I was emotionally prepared for. A film that explores, love, relationships, right person, wrong time, the quote-unquote soulmate, if you will, but also choosing love. Corey. That's amazing. I'm going to start over. I'm going to keep that in there just so he can make it to the episode. A film that explores love and relationships, but also timing of relationships and the right person, wrong time, the soulmates, but also, I think, choosing to love somebody, choosing a path, recognizing though there's love, maybe a better choice for your life. So many other things, a lot of emotions. But it's a film that I didn't see coming and has made a very lasting impression on me, and I'm very excited to talk about it.
But is Past Lives good?
Oh, I forgot to say we have a guest. Yes, that's Luke. That's Luke Baker. Sorry. No, it's fine. We can keep it. We'll leave this in. Nice. This is how we do it. Yeah, we have a very special guest today. Luke Baker, welcome to the show. And yeah, we're excited
glad to be here. Honored, even.
To jump in. Honored. Wow, did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
But is it good podcast? Yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. Hello. Luke, how are you doing? Welcome to the show. Welcome to But Is It Good?
I'm doing great. This is, I haven't been in a podcast for a long time, not since college. So I got to dust off the rust.
Yeah. Well, we're made of rust on this show, so you don't have to dust anything off too much. welcome to the show. I am your host, Hunter Callahan.
And I'm your host, Zach Olson.
And as we said, Hunter. I'm sorry. I was going to say, before I rudely forgot to formally introduce, but we have a special guest, Luke Baker, writer, director, editor, cinematographer, even actor, because I think you were in your film. And we're going to be talking about Past Lives, as Zach said before I interrupted. But also we're going to be talking a little bit about Luke's short film coming up. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to be dropping a special episode dedicated solely to his short film, our review of it, where we will ask, but is Luke Baker's short film, this is The Space Between, right? But is The Space Between good?
Space Between.
I couldn't remember if it was Between Spaces or Space Between.
I hope it is, or I'm going to close this laptop mid-podcast.
You can tell Hunter's watched it, you know?
I promise. I was going to be like, let me look at the links to me, but I'm thinking the title. It is The Space Between, yes. But that's coming up soon. But first, Past Lives. But Zach, we can start with you. How's life since we talked like 2 days ago?
In the past 2 days... Nothing. We did record on Saturday. I'm so used to recording on Sunday. So I was like, it was yesterday. But no, it was 2 days ago. Nothing. Not a single thing has changed. I'm good. I'm doing well. How are you, Hunter?
I'm good. Something has changed for me. I am currently in Birmingham, Alabama. So that's kind of the only change. Rock and roll.
Sorry.
Rock and roll. Hey, it's been fun.
Did you know that, just a little fun fact for you. They wanted to build Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Birmingham, and Birmingham said, no, we don't want an airport, so they built it in Atlanta, and then Atlanta became big, and Birmingham didn't. Hmm. And now you know.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I will say Birmingham has been fun. I'm here with George, which I don't know if you've met George, Zach, but Luke, obviously. Luke works with me at BP, so Luke knows George very well. We just had dinner at a place called Automatic Seafood, and I had some of the best tuna of my life, so that was very good. But the man of the hour, Luke, how are you
doing? Pretty good. Just hanging out. I haven't had not too many travels. Well, actually, next week I'm going to Seattle, but looking forward to that.
That'll be fun. Got
the Shorts first film festival is this weekend in Sugar Hill, Georgia. It's called Broad Street Film Festival.
That's awesome. So you've been finding some local film festivals, some smaller ones.
Yeah, that one's seems like they have a, I don't know if you've ever been to Sugar Hill. I think I've driven through it before, like near the lake. It's like near Lake Lanier, like maybe 10, 15 minutes from Buford. But they have like a nice little theater. It's like new spot. Seems they got a whole weekend's planned of like little panels, workshops, screenings too. So should be very fun. Cool.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, should be a good time.
So we'll talk about that some on this episode, but we'll save most of that for the one about your short film. But we're doing a film that you seemed very excited about, and so excited to have you on, and that is Past Lives. Without further ado, I guess before I jump in, please like and subscribe and do all that good shit. You know how it is. You know, follow us and stuff. So Luke, we can start with you. Your first impressions, whether the first time you saw it, have you seen this twice now? Did you watch it again today?
Yeah. I've seen it twice. It's the first, I saw it way back when it was in theaters like last June, I think it came out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's been a while.
Okay. So first impressions, whether then or now, what is your first thoughts on Past Lives?
Well, it's funny, like the reason why I went and saw it, because the trailer is amazing. I don't know if you've seen the trailer to it, but they have the like one of the best trailers that I've seen in a while, because I don't know, they use like this cover of Rihanna's Stay, and it's like, I don't know, it's just really well done. The trailer's really good, and that was just like, oh, I was like, I know this movie's gonna like tear me apart, but yeah, I was like, I can't wait to see it. And just even first impressions, just even, you know, I don't know if we'll go deeper into just, you know, the beginning or whatever, is just, you know, really unique story, and kind of having those two separate lives, obviously, you know, from an immigrant's point of view too, coming from Korea and, you know, going to the United States, and, you know, sort of those star-crossed lovers kind of deal, or those childhood crushes that you have, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, just even just first impressions, like, and the cinematography is fantastic too. I think they shot it all on film from what I remember researching on it, but yeah, it was great. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's, I actually never saw the trailer, I must admit.
Yeah.
You gotta stop watching movies at NCG and go to like a like a real theater. 'Cause yeah, I mean, yeah, can I go next?
You can go next.
Hunter, can I? Is it my turn?
Hey, you in the hat. You in the hat, you can go.
Oh, thank you. Sweet. the trailer for this film was amazing. I actually didn't watch it for the first time until today, coincidentally. I think that is more a product of when we do a movie every week, and I only have so much time to devote to watching movies. You know what I mean? So, but anyways, this blew me off my feet. This was amazing. The performances were wonderful. The cinematography was top notch. It was filmed on 35mm. I don't know if I was ready for this. You were saying that in the intro, Hunter, that you don't think you were ready for this film. I don't think I was ready for this film either, but I'm really glad I went through it. And I know I'm going to be watching it again and again. There's something specific that is going to get me every fucking time. Excuse my language. And it's when two characters are having dialogue, and then it just like cuts to a shot from their past, like in the middle of the dialogue. You know what I mean? And that happens, and it's just so good. I'm really excited to talk about it. I don't really have anything bad to say about this film, so I'm really, really hyped to dive in.
Yeah.
Hunter, it's your turn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, just in case there's a weird edit in the podcast, I'm afraid that my hotel Wi-Fi is complete shit, because Zach, you have moved like three times in the past 2 minutes. You've barely moved. So if I lose everybody, I apologize. Okay. I'll make sure to make a seamless edit. Just want to put that out there as a disclaimer for everybody who's listening.
Okay.
This movie, I felt like it got punched in the stomach but in a way where I was like, do it again, please. I loved this. It's funny because last week we did Anatomy of the Fall, and I think I said like, this is like right up the alley of like what I like. Bullshit.
I was thinking bullshit when you said that.
This is everything that I want in a movie. Right up your this alley. Is like, I want to feel, let's feel, man. Let's just feel. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah.
I thought this was incredible. I gotta side with Zach. I don't really think I have anything bad that I can think of. The writing I thought was brilliant. There's some scenes that I was like, it was kind of a weird feeling because I was watching and in the moment I was like, I'm watching like a master class of how to do this right now. The cinematography was great. I remember there's some scenes like, which I'm not gonna, this is not gonna spoil anything, but when he, well, okay, I won't even say it, but there's certain scenes which I mentioned. I guess that can kind of give something away. It's not really a spoiler, but it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. The ending was just like, I mean, I'm ready to dive in and talk about spoilers because I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. On that note, shall we? Spoilers? Spoiler warning? Okay. So, Luke, we have a tradition. I've prepped you for this. We have a tradition on this podcast that is called Movie in a Minute. And you have 60 seconds to explain the entire film to the best of your ability. You can't do it shorter, and you can't do it longer. You have to use 60 seconds. We had somebody want to try and do it in 15 seconds. He lost.
He lost. Okay?
Doesn't count. He had to do it again. So, if you accept this challenge, then it is time for Movie in a Minute.
Very well. Let's do it.
Okay, you have to time yourself since we're virtual, but
okay. So it's I have to go first.
Well, no, it's just you. But I'm saying,
it's only me. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought this was like a group challenge.
No. It's all you.
It's all you. Yeah, yeah. Every week, either Hunter or I take on this challenge, but when we have a guest, the burden falls on you. So
usually, when I do it, the first 40 seconds are very detailed. And then the last 20 seconds is just the most generic, like, story arc I can think of. So don't ever think it. There's no pressure. Have fun with it. But you have to time yourself. So Scout's honor.
All right.
And whenever you're ready, at your leisure, sir.
All right. Well, I'll hit the button to prove.
Right. Here we go. This is Past Lives, Movie in a Minute. Take it away.
Okay. So in Past Lives, there is Nora. I forget her original name or her Korean name. And then there's Hae Song. And they both are childhood friends. And they end up deciding to go and wanting to date each other. But as, you know, their first crushes. But then Nora's family moves to Toronto. And they live in Canada for a while. And then she ends up moving to New York City. And then they reconnect. Hae Song and Nora reconnect on Facebook, and they had basically an online relationship back when online relationships weren't really a thing, which I thought was really cool. Anyways, they start dating for a while and calling each other, but then eventually, you know, she gets into this writer's retreat, and then the writer's retreat, and she does that, and she meets her husband Arthur there, and then they, you know, fall in love and blah, blah, blah. And also he does that. And then they meet up in New York and then they think you're going to fall in love, but they not really fall in love. And then they don't. And then they see each other in Uber. Okay.
Perfect. That
was
amazing.
That was great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Skype making a big comeback in this movie. Yeah. Skype. That was great. Well done. Applause.
Thanks.
There you go. See what I mean, though? It's like the first 40 seconds is like very detailed, and then it's like
oh, I got all the time in the world. Oh shit! Yeah.
You told me exactly what was going to happen. I was like, no way, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, every time.
I remember briefly. Sorry, I love telling the story because our first episode we did Man of Steel.
Nice.
And I remember I did Movie in a Minute, and I didn't even get off Krypton. Good Lord. Did y'all hear that? It's like a motorcycle outside. I didn't even get off Krypton in the Movie Minute. I was so bad at it. So it's fun. Anyway, let's do it, shall we? Classic.
Yeah, let's dive in.
What do you guys think of the cold open of the very, very beginning when we see them like at the dinner, at the bar?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's another couple saying, like, what do you think is going on there? Like trying to figure out what kind of
vibe did that set for you guys?
I'll be honest. My first thought was, I'm not watching like a English dubbed over version, am I? That was my first thought. And then once I realized what was happening, I was like, oh, okay. So,
yeah, it kind of threw me off at the beginning. Like when I watched it the second time, I'm like, this feels a little out of place because I feel like they never come. I understand why they did it, but they never come back to it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal, but it definitely, it kind of, I think, doubles down more on the theme of like what could have been, or obviously in alternate realities and past lives, like mm-hmm. they could be friends, or he could be a like, I think at one point they were like, he could be their tourist and they're from another country and XYZ. Like, and I think that was laying the foundation of what could have been, which now I'm talking through it and I'm like, okay, well maybe that works.
Yeah, it does. No,
it
definitely works. Like you said, it's setting up this.
Yeah.
And they say like, oh, I don't know, this is complicated. It's hard to figure out what's going on, right? And as we see, it is a little complicated there at the end when they get to the bar. Mm-hmm. So what did you think, Hunter?
I would disagree with you. I think it sets up this. I thought it was a really interesting way to start it because it's not what you expect by any means. I will say I understand Luke's point where when we got to that scene, part of me was kind of like waiting for something to like be like, okay, so are we going to like loop back to this? I will say though that when we got to that scene and I realized we weren't, it didn't make it worse for me. I was like, okay, I just kind of knew. So it's not like it's a derogatory mm-hmm. statement, but I think it just kind of paints this idea of like the complexity of all kinds of relationships. And if anybody here is an avid people watcher, I'm not, but I can be sometimes. I don't know if you like to people watch, Luke or Zach. But you never know. You just never know like the depth of somebody's like reality, I suppose. That's kind of a weird way to say it. But mm-hmm. I liked kind of that idea of the assumptions that we might make. Like, because I think this movie walks up to a line, like with Arthur, where you kind of assume it's going to go one way. And then I think it kind of turns and goes in a different direction, which I prefer. So mm-hmm. to kind of have this movie kind of start with like making assumptions about someone's relationship scenario when they were all wrong too. You know, I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I liked that a lot. I think it even goes beyond that, Hunter, because here we have these like passerbys like imagining these people in different relationships with each other. Like, oh, they could be tourists and he could be her husband, or he could be her husband and that could just be their like tour guide, or you know, blah blah blah. And at the same time, when we get to that scene at the end, they're having a conversation where they're saying, "What could have been if blah blah, if this happened or that happened? Would we be friends? Would we be this? What were we in past lives?" So it's almost like they were having the same conversation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, one of those conversations was like, "What's going on here?" And then the other conversation, you're like on the verge of crying if you're me, but.
Do you guys feel like one side was stronger, like was felt more than the other? Do you feel like he had stronger feelings than her? Because so I watched this with Hannah, and she was like, "This feels like he wanted it more than she did." Or is it just because he was the one who was like single and she wasn't?
Well, she's the one who leaves, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he call her that at one point?
Yeah, he says like she's somebody who leaves. Were you gonna say, Luke? Sorry.
Well, I guess if we're jumping around a little bit though, but it was interesting to, but specifically more on the ending point, like, cause I was really confused on the ending. Cause I assuming, so sorry, we're going to the last point here, but
this happens
sorta
all the time
goes to the point, but you know, the ending scene where she breaks down after they sort of leave. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. They did an interview with the director there, and she was saying, cause I just assumed she was just crying about like the possibility, basically closing the door on whatever possibility of that future she could have had with him. But it was interesting because so the director was saying that she was more upset, or she was crying about the child that she never got to be, the basically putting to death or putting to rest that person who was in Korea, as that she's just a totally different person. In that sense, so she's almost like putting her past self or whatever potential that could have been in Korea.
That's like more painful to me now. That like hurts worse.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Well, because when he comes to visit, and then she goes home and she's talking to Arthur, and she's like, "He's just so Korean. Like when I'm with him, I feel less Korean, but I also feel more Korean." And then he's like, "Do you think he's attractive?" And he's like, "Yeah, he's very masculine in a Korean way, right?" So it's like it's like that's her childhood. That's who she could have been. And at one point she even says, like, the version of me that you remember, you know, I left that behind with you. That still exists, right?
Yeah, that was...
She says that at one point.
That was a beautiful, like, mm-hmm. just exchange, that whole thing where she's saying... Because mm-hmm. I kind of took that as it's... It feels like now, I know we're already off the linear film, but this is this is gonna be a blast just because like I love talking about this kind of stuff. It's like I feel like her saying that is in the moment I felt like she was telling him like you still have that version of me mm-hmm. that's always gonna be yours.
Yeah,
and I thought that was really beautiful. But then Luke, to your point, I guess not just your point, but director. I mean, if the director said this, mm-hmm. it's almost like what like that caught up to her, and she realized what it meant. And mm-hmm. for her, that's like, man, that like that puts that whole last little walk in a new perspective. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's also interesting too that obviously you know we're all born and raised in the U.S. Well, maybe, I don't know, Zach, your lineage, but
I am.
Okay. I thought you were from, you know, Uruguay or something. I guess I'm wrong.
I do give off those vibes, the Uruguayan vibes.
But I think there's the also, sweater. Yeah, there's, Patagonia. There you go. Patagonia, that area. But I think it also... You know, I think it there's another level that being, you know, an immigrant and having two different cultures and you're sort of shaped and you're in a place so long, like I can't remember how long she was in Canada, basically, like, I mean, since she was what, I think that whether like 8 or 10 or something like that, somewhere around
there. I can't remember.
There.
I think they were like 10. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's basically been to Canada and the U.S. more her life than actually Korea. Yeah, she knows Korean and she talks to her mom Korean and she has that whole side of her family, but in her day-to-day life, you know, she probably relates more to the West, you know, Western culture, American culture, things mm-hmm. like that, and how that sort of shapes. But, you know, you don't want to lose that original culture that you have. So I feel like it's a battle that, you know, there's a whole nother level of being from two different, I wouldn't say like two different cultures, or being in engrossed in that, to where you're grown up with that, but it also changes you. You know, yes, you're Korean, but you're also, you know, Korean American or Korean, you know, that influences, you know, where you live too, which is also, I think she struggled with that too, as, you know, you know, he lived in Korea all his life. You know, he studied abroad in China and things like that. But, you know, he had his Korean friends and all that stuff. So it was, yeah. But I thought that was kind of another level that was also weighing on her mind throughout that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, Zach, I don't know if you were going to say something. If not, I'll jump in. Oh, can you hear me? Did we lose him?
Yeah, no, I can hear you. I shook my head. Can you not see us?
It was frozen for a second.
Okay.
No, I didn't even really think about that much during the film, but to think about it in the sense of, yeah, that's something that you were saying, that it's probably, you know, you grow up and you move away from us from like where you grew up. Well, you know, we assume that happens sometimes, sometimes not, but there's a sadness in realizing you're no longer an adolescent. You know what I mean? Like there's a sadness in being like, oh, I guess I'm I'm grown up. And to like, I think it's necessary to kind of actually grow up, but it's probably severely compounded by the fact that she's from a different country, different world, different culture. Mm-hmm. And even if she, you know, like, I think what's interesting is this film kind of explores, not necessarily regret, but being sad for making the right choices. Does that make sense? Where it's like, you can know it's the best choice. You can know it's the right thing, and it can still fucking suck, you know?
Yep.
And for her to be like, I'm devastated because I never got to see that the full version of that girl, but I know that what I chose was still best for me. And that's heavy, you know?
Yeah. And it's like why they broke up the first time, too. Like, she wanted to be a writer. He couldn't leave. I can't remember the specific reason why. I think he was in a job or something like
that. Yeah, he was going to China to like study Mandarin, and
that's right.
knew that he couldn't come visit for like 2 years, and then she couldn't go visit for like a year.
Yeah.
And so
And I think in that way, like, they knew it was working, and she was, you know, maybe they had different dreams or aspirations too. Like, you know, it's a big thing is she wanted to be a writer. You know, she went on that writer's retreat, and that was probably something she wouldn't have done if she stayed with him, and that's where she ended up meeting her husband, you know, in that writer's retreat. And, you know, it's kind of unexpected.
I love that
ways in which I could talk about Arthur forever. Cause I think I just have this movie so awesome. There's so many great points, but
no, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. But yeah, Arthur is another character, which I thought they really subverted expectations, because I was like, and even they even called it out, like even in the trailer, or even that one line, he's like, I don't want to be the jealous American boyfriend or husband that, you know, get you away from your destiny or things like that. And I think my favorite scene with them is when they're in bed together.
Oh my gosh.
And there was this
such a good scene,
which I think now looking back might be my favorite scene of the movie, other than like, I'd say like the scene where they're talking at the bar, but where he's like, I don't understand you, or like, I can never fully understand who you are. And that's why I want to learn Korean, which
there's
is so
the scene
interesting.
Where he's like, I want to understand what, like, how's he say it? He says like, I don't understand you when you're dreaming or whatever. Like he literally can't understand you
in Korean. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach was live texting me while he was watching it.
I was messing with you. Playing into the expectations that I think we're supposed to have for Arthur, which is like, fuck
exactly.
Arthur, get out of the way, Arthur. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you you said, someone's gonna get hurt, and it better be him, because the film walks up to that line, and it makes you feel that.
Well, I mean, because we built this whole history of like lives lived, and I don't know, can we come back a little bit to when they look each other up? So they were 12 when she leaves and immigrates to Toronto, and then 12 years after that, so 24 years, I guess they're 24 years old, they look each other up and they start like video chatting with the Skype, and they're just like, hey, and it's like they're picking up where they left off, sort of thing. And I thought it was great. They, you know, she mentions Montauk, and then she gets him to watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, yeah. I thought about you. I thought about it about you when that was mentioned.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite films. The more films we watch, the lower I think it gets on my ranking. But it's up there, you know what I mean? And I think there's a lot of similarities between that film and this film. But I don't know, it's just so great. And then it ends, from my perspective, it ended pretty suddenly when, like, I understand the decision that she made. And, you know, you could sort of tell that it was getting a little stale when they weren't able to connect. You know, she sleeps in and doesn't answer his call, or they finally do get on the phone with each other, and it's like a spotty connection, and it drops off.
I loved that, like, little detail. I thought was great, because, like, it's so many times in movies you can be like, oh, look, it's a perfect picture, but the frustration of that online connection.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off. I do that.
No, you're fine. but it was just so, like, fresh and new, and you could tell that even if they weren't, like, fully expressing what was going on, that they were both, like, really excited, right? Because, I mean, they're on opposite ends of the world, and they were finding time to have conversations. It seemed like they were trying to give the impression that it was, like, on a daily basis, right? Like, they were having conversations with one another. And then she just said, and she had to cut it off. And again, I understand, you know, where she's coming from, but she's like, I can't do this. You know, I have goals. I came here for a reason. And, you know, if I spend all my time looking for plane tickets, I'm not going to achieve them. I think that's what she says, right?
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. She's like, I'm laying here looking for plane tickets to Korea.
But she kind of strings him along a little bit. Cause she's like, you know, just for now, we'll stop talking for now and we'll start talking again in the future. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was still holding on to that hope that it might work out. Is like, well, you know,
for
if
sure.
I just focus on what I'm trying to do, then, you know, things will line up later. Like, even though, you know, she was almost kind of putting it to the side or kicking the can down the road pretty much.
But all of that is set up for us to be like, who are you, Arthur? What are you doing?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I was going to say, it works so well because the chemistry that they have, even though they're not even like in the same like place, it has to, like, especially for like our generation. And Luke, you're only like a couple years younger than us, so it's kind of the same generation. I remember Skype. I remember all of that stuff, and it like made me smile because I was like, this is how it was, this is real. And like their chemistry and like the excitement and the genuine like enjoyment that they were having talking, it was wonderful, and it was so well done, and it felt so genuine and so authentic. That the movie is saying you need to root for these two. Like, this is who you're rooting for. And then, like, Arthur shows up at the damn retreat, and you're just like, who's
damn
this
it, Arthur.
Guy? Who's
classic,
this guy?
Classic meet cute.
But, I mean, that scene in bed is incredible. It is incredible. That is one of my favorite scenes I've seen in a long, long time. And it's because, like, Arthur, I've said it, like, five times, but the movie walks Arthur up to the line of being the like douchey American boy who like is in the way, and he even calls it out. But in reality, he does one of the hardest things you could possibly do, and he allows his wife, the space to like have these feelings for someone else, you know, and like work through them. And you can tell he's just like also devastated. There's a line, Luke, that I think I'm not going to say it was on purpose. Maybe it was, I felt like it was a homage in your short film where I believe he says like, you make my world so much bigger.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's such an awesome way to say that.
Yeah.
So in past lives, he says, you make my world so much bigger. And I just wonder if I do the same for you. Cause he's wondering, cause he's not able to understand like half of her world. Mm-hmm. And Luke, in your film at the end, one of the main characters says, you make my life so much bigger, and I want to do the same for you. Was that intentional? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was inspired for that too, because I sort of started like, it was sort of like I was looking for, you know, a statement to show like how much someone cares for each other in some ways, and how some person can, you know, change, and someone can have that such big effect to them, and letting them know that. And it sort of is like I said, I sort of watch it right when, you know, I was leading up to it. So it is kind of, yeah, it is homage to sort of including in that, like to kind of, bringing that back. 'Cause I was like, I need something, you know, I want something to like really nail it down on the head. And I love that scene too. So it is, yeah, very, very inspired.
Yeah. What's cool though is I loved how in your film, it's a much more active approach to it. You know, and she's like, I want to do the same for you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Arthur.
Right.
And I get maybe he's feeling a little like he's probably more insecure and a little more defeated because what's happening. And he's like, if he probably feels like he's losing grip of his of who he loves. Right. He's like, I'm wondering now if I do that for you. A little subtle change. But nah, man, that scene. God, that scene was so good.
Yeah. And it was so simple, too. It was like. And this is kind of going, you know, more talking about like cinematography and just the direction as a whole, too. What I really liked about this in general, they just gave the space for people to be.
I
think that's a lot of films won't do that, or they do it too much, I would say. And you can just like even just in conversations, they would just let people be silent because sometimes that just happens in real life.
Yeah.
Or
there's some scenes where they would like, they'd linger on them just for another minute.
Yeah. And I think that's so important in the sense of just like taking you there and being with them in the scene. I think it brings your audience closer to what's going on, as you kind of are able to sit with it rather than just boom, boom, dialogue, next thing. And just even a lot of long takes that they choose are just, there's the one scene which I watched the director break down on. It's really good. And when they first meet in person, you know, in 20 or 24 years, they're talking about the scenography of like how it's all one shot, but they go back and forth. And she's saying it's like their feeling of like, well, now let's go to Hey Song. And then we go back to Nora, and then we go back to Hey Song because we're missing them more. And we go back to it. So, you know, it's very deliberate in their choices. And even like the whole scene in the bedroom, that was pretty much a one take. Most for that scene, a 5-minute one take of them just sitting there, and it's just so expertly done that it was so good.
Yeah, I think back to, not to go back to the end, but like that walk, like to the Uber, and you keep like waiting.
We go the whole way.
Yeah, yeah. And you keep waiting for someone to say something, but like in a way that puts you like in their shoes, not like in a way as like a moviegoer being like, someone say something, but like. You're in their shoes being like, do I need to?
It's now or never.
Am I going to?
That's
speak?
What I was Did thinking. They,
yeah. And it was just like, it was such a good. Oh, it was so good. It's so good. It's so good. I want to talk about when he comes to New York, when Hai Sung, is that how you say his name? When Hai Sung comes to New York. There's one thing that I appreciated about this movie, and I think it was because when we were like watched the we were like had on Netflix and you could kind of see, you know, not Netflix, wherever we watched it, you could see the actors. Hannah made a comment. She asked, "Was that the guy from Crazy Rich Asians?" And it's not, but it made me, for some reason, like in my brain, it set this expectation of like, we fast forward 24 years and he's this like super. Like successful, put together, charming, you know, guy, and like sweeps around for feet. But I really loved how he wasn't that. Not to say that he was anything that was like, he wasn't attractive or wasn't charming. I think he was, but that he comes to New York and like there's that shot where he walks out of the hotel room and you kind of see him in like the reflection and stuff in the puddle. And you can tell he feels isolated and he feels like a fish out of water, you know, and he's like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. And I loved when he was waiting for Nora, how he like would like fix his shirt and like you could see just like the nervous energy. For some reason, it just made it so much better to me. It wasn't like this guy who's like, I'm going to come in and, you know, win her back. He was like just trying to be around her, you know, and I loved that.
Well, he was that 12-year-old kid again. I think he reverted back to that. And even like you were saying, too, it's like, you know, he's not like that Prince Charming. He's not the... You know, he's not that perfect individual that she's just been. This is her missing piece in her life. Yeah, you know, yeah. He's just that same boy.
He even says, like,
boy.
I'm just ordinary. Yeah, he just says, like, I'm so ordinary.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people revert back to their younger selves, especially, like, of, you know, that's really that only image that he has of her, really. I mean, yeah, they've met online, but, like, physically, you know, it's got that, you know, childhood excitement there.
Yeah. I loved how he was portrayed, and I thought he did an incredible job, because it felt, you know what it felt like? Some parts, especially when he was asking about, because I want to get to the, what's it called? Inyun?
Inyun.
I want to get to that in a minute, but there's a, towards the end when he's asking, like, you know, like, what do you think we were in past lives? And I'll see if Zach, you might be able to guess. Luke, I think you've seen the film that I'm thinking of, but... Me and Zach saw this together, and it's like one of our favorites. But it made me think of a film of a certain relationship that explores different timelines and could have been. It made me think of Everything Everywhere All at Once, the scene where I forget their names, but the mom is rich and famous and is talking to her husband, if, you know, they aren't together in that universe where he's also like in a tux and super nice, whatever. And she's like, you know, like we were stuck doing laundry and doing taxes or whatever. And he says, I would have loved to have done laundry and taxes with you. And it made me think, like, for some reason, that scene made me think of that movie and that kind of affection and being like, it doesn't matter what we were or what we are. To just be in your orbit, you know? I feel like that's kind of where he was coming from. But that could just be me. I thought it was awesome.
No, I mean, you're spot on. It does... I thought of Everything Everywhere All at Once a couple times in this film. Although this didn't have Raccoonie in it, so...
It didn't. It also didn't have, like, the butt plug trophies or whatever.
Yeah.
but I loved that, like, that idea, like, at the heart of it, you know? I'd love that.
It is interesting too, because like Everything Everywhere Always is all at once is like we'll always find each other, but with this one,
it's kind of the inverse, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Luke.
Go ahead. Yeah, it is kind of the inverse of like what you're saying.
Yeah, because with Everything Everywhere All at Once, like you said, it's like they're attracted to one another. So in every single possible universe where both of them are alive, I guess, they come together in some way, you know, whether it's through we could use this as a bridge for Inyun, because I feel like in Everything Everywhere All at Once there are these universes where they just brush past each other, or they're not together but they see each other at the awards show, right? Or this, that, or the other. And the idea of Inyun in this film, where, you know, you've come into contact with someone like 4,000 times over 8,000 lifetimes or past lives, it has the same feel for me, you know, of just like, this is like eternal, like this relationship, you know, goes beyond space and time, right?
Yeah. I remember I said this to Hannah, you know, when they were like, and if you like find somebody and you get married, that means you have like 8,000 layers of Inyun. And I was like, isn't that beautiful? You know, I leaned over her but I was like, honest, I was like, that's such a beautiful way to look at it, because just the depth of that relationship. But I, for some reason, I really love the idea where I think she was like, even if you like brush up against somebody, that means yep. like in a past life, like mm-hmm. you had it, you there was something in some sort of yeah. dynamic. And I think that's such a cool way to look at just yeah. people, you know, like that's a really interesting concept. I loved it.
Well, I think it's also the idea of people come into your lives at certain points, but then they also can leave. You know, maybe they come in to, you know, at your life at a certain point, but maybe, you know, they're not there all the time, but they served a purpose during that particular time, which I think it's kind of in similar light to Wells, like, okay, well, maybe they were not soulmates, but they served a purpose for each other at certain points of their lives. You know, now maybe that purpose is done, but, you know, there'll always be that connection. Because, you know, you have those people that, you know, you're really close with for, you know, whatever, during your college years or high school, et cetera, you know, different parts. But then, you know, eventually grow apart, move away, things like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, it just, it happens that way through life. So, you know, I get that as an Indian vibe, sort of.
Go ahead, Zach.
But
it's interesting because you can tell that Na Young, the child, believes in Inyan. And even, you know, when Haesung comes to visit, they're talking about it at the bar, right? Like, oh, maybe I was a bird and you were the branch that I was sitting upon. You know what I mean? But when she is talking about it to Arthur at the retreat and when they first meet, he says, you know, do you really believe in that? That, you know, we've brushed past each other and we've come into contact that many times over that many lifetimes because we're sitting at the table. She says, no, that's just what they do to seduce each other. So it's like the adult Nora Moon, who has immigrated to Toronto and then or immigrated to Canada and then immigrated to the United States, is sort of like putting that behind her in a way. You know what I mean? Whereas the youthful Na Young still believes in it. Or maybe she's just playing along with Haesung. I don't know. What do y'all think?
No, I think it to both of what both of y'all have said about. I think she sees, Haesung, and she's that person again. Like it's all that all just comes rushing back to her. Maybe not even rushing back. I think she realized that it never actually was anywhere. It's still there, you know? Right. And that's just hard. That's just because they're both valid. I think the biggest thing about this film that I think is so, extraordinary is that it has such unbiased empathy for everyone. You can love, root for and feel sad for all three of our main characters. You know, like even that scene at the bar, like my heart broke for Arthur because we didn't even see him in frame half the time. And then my heart broke for Nora and for Haesung because like in each moment, like there was something where it was like hard and painful. But then at the end, when it's just Haesung and Arthur says like, you did the right thing coming here. Like, I'm glad you came. You know, like, he probably hated hearing that. And then I think Haesung said something to Arthur. He said something that's along those lines of, like he's happy for her, for them, I guess. But also, like, maybe he's saying it to her. But I don't know. I can't remember. But it's just, it's so, I think it to hold space for all of those feelings and realize that they don't have to cross each other out is really hard, and it's really mature, and it's something that I've never seen films, or at least I haven't seen many films explore, and this film does a damn good job of it, you know?
Yeah.
But what else? We can keep going. I mean, it's already been like almost an hour, but this film is endless, man. Like, everything about it, like, I think of them going to, there's that one scene where, and I felt so bad for Arthur, but also didn't think it was malicious, but like when they go to Statue of Liberty and then Arthur's like, we've never gone, never even been there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's so many things, man. So many things.
Yeah. Well, even when he like says something in Korean to Haesung too, like he appreciate that he was trying, and
yeah,
you know, it goes back to like understanding, you know, how she dreams and what she thinks about too. And, you know, I think going back to that whole thing, it is like she, you know, that is her, but you know, they have that barrier in some way that he's trying to break through that barrier and understand, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, when Heisung said, I didn't think it would hurt this much to like him.
Oh, that hit yeah, me. Okay. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Like,
that hit me.
Oh, man.
I mean, think about okay. that. Yeah. Because he's like, coming in and he's expecting, like me, to dislike Arthur. And then he, like me, ends up liking Arthur. And he's like, man, this sucks. Or yeah. maybe not this sucks, but it hurts, you know?
It hurts, yeah. I don't know what else y'all have left that y'all want to touch on, but I want to talk about, let's go back to the end, where it shows the parallel of them, which, first off, I loved the like, visual. I mean, it's not subtle, but it still works when she's, like, leaving Korea and they're going on those different paths. Like, literally, she's going on that path, he's going on this path.
Yeah.
And he, like, calls her, I think, and it's just, like, they just sort of stare. He's just, like, he just says, bye, right? And then to kind of cut to the end, because that's where it is, right? Where, like, he's about to get in the car, and then it shows yeah. them young.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So good.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's very good.
It's so good, because it's just, like, it feels, you know, it was, like, this one big circle. Like, and that's kind of sad, because then you don't mm-hmm. feel like you can move forward, but it's like complete. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it feels complete.
Yeah. Well, it's providing closure, I think, especially yep. for Nora and hopefully Heisung to a certain point too. I yeah. think he'll figure it out, but it definitely isn't that, you know, where like, and then Arthur, you see Arthur at the end consoling her too. Mm-hmm. So it yeah. is like, you know, she's meant to be where she is at this point, regardless, you know, yeah. regardless of Inyeon and regardless of whatever she thought, in the end, she knew where she was the whole time.
Yeah. I definitely feel like with Heisung, it might not have been as, like, I felt bad because he didn't have somebody to console him, but it felt like for me, he, there was a bit of a hopefulness to him, you know, like a contentment, maybe, you know,
yeah,
and probably like pride of being like he did it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And what was also interesting too, that like, because he had that long term girlfriend for a while, and they just broke up yeah. too, and so mm-hmm. he was like, so like he wasn't just like a lonely guy. Remember, because they always have those, remember the shots with him like hanging out with his friends and
right
yeah. things like that. So, you know, I think, you know, he had another life in that sense, but, you know, I think maybe he just took that long-term relationship, like, he just got out of, he's like, well, you know, I got to go find my person again. So, I don't know, yep. hopefully he finds his person.
I do think he found some closure in the fact that, you know, he sees that Nora is happy and that she has a loving husband who's good for her. You know what I mean? Even if, you know, I mean, he's got to close that door.
He's gotta, yeah. Yeah.
Homeboy's got to move on.
It's
but
closed.
I do think he found some closure in that, you know, seeing that she's taken care of.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Well, we could go on and on, but it has been a hot minute. So, Luke, we're going to ask you officially. Okay. And if we all want to give our thoughts, we can. But Luke, we want to ask you. But is Past Lives good?
Absolutely. I would say it's great. Exceptional. Fantastic.
There you have it.
Easily.
There you have it.
Yes.
Easily, yeah, what? You were gonna yeah. give
well,
it.
Well, I was gonna say easily it's so I've had this back and forth since I've seen Zone of Interest, and
oh yeah.
I think you guys reviewed it before.
Yes.
So Past Lives up until that point was like my number one movie of last year. I thought it was amazing. It's my favorite movie, but it's really tough because they're totally, well, I wouldn't say, but they're more character pieces, I said, but they're very different movies.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
but they're also very well done. So I go back and forth on which is my top, but okay. they're up there really high. But yeah, I would say easily the best film I saw of 2023. Last year, and I was raving about it. I was like, you guys gotta see this movie, and they're like, what is this movie?
Yeah,
this was back in like June and July.
Yeah, Because I remember, so Zach, you know this, but just for context for the listeners, me and Luke actually saw Zone of Interest together in Florida. And I had mentioned, like, we were doing the best picture, and you were like, past lives. You have to see past lives, past lives, past lives. Zach, but is past lives good?
Yeah, this is excellent. This has shaken up my, because I was already thinking about my ranking of all the best picture nominees. And this has shaken it to its core. Like, this is one of the best films of those 10, for sure. It might be number one, honestly. This was just chef's kiss, you know. Yeah.
I would have Hunter? To agree with, I'd have to agree with both of you. I was about to say that. Luke, so this Saturday, per tradition, we release like our best picture rankings. This one is throwing me for a loop. Like I said at the very top of the episode, I was not ready for this one, because there's been some that I can recognize were very good, but then there's been some that I have recognized are very, very good and like punch me in the face, and I feel them for days after. This is one of those. This is staying with me, so it's gonna be tough to rank, but this is exceptional. This is phenomenal. Anything else? Anything? Any closing statements on Past Lives, real quick, before we go on to Every Movie Sucks? Go watch it.
It better win some Oscars, or I'm gonna be mad.
Oh yeah, it better. And this is coming from.
I think it's Greta Lee's nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah.
And I think it was Best Screenplay. I can't remember.
This is a tough year, man. This is a tough year because me and Zach voted Poor Things the best film that we saw last year, which counts, still stands as valid because we saw it last year. We loved Poor Things. We both loved Oppenheimer. Zone of Interest is bonkers. This is a tough year. Tough year.
Yeah.
We can move right along to wrap up Past Lives. We have to do Every Movie Sucks. So I explained this to you, Luke. We find the worst reviews we can on Letterboxd and read them. I found one. This is Half Star. I thought this was, it's very on point if you know what it's referring to. This says, this feels like a really long Tumblr post. I thought that was really good. I thought that was funny.
That's pretty good. Fair enough.
That's a good one.
Zach, you have one?
That's the one I was going to read. Give me a second.
Oh, sorry.
Half Star. Yeah, I think that emulates that very well.
Here's a Half Star review that just says, ruined my night watching this.
See that.
Let me see here. Let's see here. A lot of these are just like really here we go.
Really long. Yeah.
Yeah.
This says, my guys, I was waiting for something interesting till the end of the movie. And it said, it has like a heartbreak emoji. let's see. I got one more.
Let me find one real quick.
You're fine. A lot of these are like in different languages.
Nothing but respect to the way that this guy supported his wife. But what a pussy. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting take.
Oh, man.
A couple things flew over his head a little bit, but that's all right.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
This is... All right, here we go. Half Star, it says... wow, did we really have to see their most boring life? Man.
Damn.
You don't understand.
I didn't think it was boring at all.
He just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Every Movie Sucks. The tagline is, somebody hates the movie you love. So that is it. That's Past Lives, ladies and gentlemen. Shindigs, me and Zach, like we said, we did episode 2 days ago, so not much has happened in the world of movie industry. I'm sure stuff has, but I'm not paying attention. I did see something that I thought was interesting. I don't know if it's real, but apparently somebody is going to write and direct and base a movie off of the failed Willy Wonka experiment in the UK. Like a horror movie.
Yeah. About the unknown.
I think, yeah, the unknown. It sounds like an awful idea, but apparently that's happening.
Yeah. That I saw someone said on Twitter, it's like, all right, the joke's over now. Someone started to do a movie of it.
Let it go.
It's it's no longer funny. Next Dune is happening. Well, potentially.
Oh yeah, I feel like
the success of Dune.
I gotta stay off of social media because I just I might have just spoiled something for myself. I'm looking for news. But yeah, Dune 3.
What was it related to?
Dune. It might have been fake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You got to get off of social media because it's all just Dune spoilers now.
I know. But yeah, apparently that's incredible. I'm going to try and see that this week. Well, I guess I have to because we're doing it next week. So I don't really have any news other than apparently that Willy Wonka movie is getting made, which I think is hilarious. Reminds me of, it sounds like the Blood and Honey, like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Which apparently is a thing. Zach, has there been any Brave stuff since Sunday?
Well, so Acuna has an undisclosed knee injury. And not only that, but he met with a surgeon in L.A. today. And
that's
they're having
concerning.
A press conference tomorrow to talk about it. So, yeah, that's pretty concerning.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. So, although last time he was hurt, we won the World Series.
That's true, but you don't want him to be hurt. He's the reigning MVP.
That is true.
So prayers up for Ronald Acuna Jr. And otherwise, I mean, the pitching looks really good. So that's been my main focus watching spring training games or listening to him has been the pitching. You know, every championship team has to have good pitching.
Yep. Luke, that was Zach's brave minute. And Zach, that was very
brave.
Brave
minute.
Yeah, it's very brave of you, Zach.
Checking the spring training stats going on.
Yeah.
Where's the Braves field? Is it in Florida
Florida? I think it's in Florida.
It's down in Florida. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've wanted to plan. I think it'd be so cool, y'all, to like take a week off and go down there for spring training and just watch them practice and play games and stuff and just because the tickets are super cheap once you get down there. I mean, there's spring training games, you know, and you're like right there at the field. I think that'd be a cool thing to do.
You could just
it's a lot more intimate. I think you could like walk up, get signatures, stuff like that. I think my dad did that once like many years ago, and it was really cool because it was like nice weather, hanging out, low key.
Yeah,
you know, feels like backyard baseball game.
Zach, just take your computer and work from down there, and just go to the field.
Honestly, I think I could because I work a fully remote job for a law firm that's based in California. So I probably could. But
there you go.
That'd be rad. So, well, Zach, that's very brave of you. Thank you.
I'll be leaving tomorrow, I guess, to
catch a full week slate of games.
Yeah.
Luke, it is officially your shindig, and the floor is open, man. Whatever you want to talk about, it can be your short film. It can be whatever.
Yeah. Well, I won't harp on the short film too much, but we're excited on that. Just going through the festival syndicate now. We're having a screening later this month at the Plaza Theater, so that's very exciting. Also, I just saw
Dune
last weekend. Yes, it's free.
Yep. So if you're in the Atlanta area, you can come check it out.
Yeah. March 24th at 1:00. So,
and without saying any spoilers, what were your thoughts on Dune?
Oh, it was fantastic. It's so good. It was it's weird because it's like it's hard to say it's better than the first one because they're basically like it's hard to separate the two because they're one story. But there's so many sequences, especially like later into the movie, where I just had my mouth open the whole time. I was like, "What is going on?" Like,
that's
holy
awesome.
Shit! Like, there's just there's just like about 10 minutes where I'm just like the whole time. It's
excited.
Amazing, and the music.
I might actually see.
So
I might see if George wants to see it tomorrow. Zach, you're seeing it on the 8th, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing it on Saturday. I'm driving up to the big boy IMAX in Buford.
So oh, you seeing cool. it in 70?
Yeah. That's so amazing. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, awesome. I got to see it again. I want to see it in IMAX. I saw it in Dolby, which was great, but
I got to
see it in IMAX though.
Yeah. Well, when Oppenheimer was there, they were showing it there for months. So I'm sure you'll have ample opportunities if you want to go up there and see it.
Yeah, because I remember Oppenheimer, it was like sold out like every showtime, even like a 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. It was like packed for like 2 months, and I was like, "All right, I like it, but I'm not gonna wait that long."
They even double booked some of the shows. That's what happened to me and a big group of my friends. Like 12 of us paid a bunch of money for IMAX tickets, and we got there, and there were people sitting in our seats, and they said, "We're sorry, no. Fandango double booked this." So. I was pissed. We even had to delay recording the episode like a day or two because of that, because I was seeing it and we were going to like record the next morning or something. So, but we got free IMAX vouchers. In fact, I'm seeing Dune with one of those free IMAX vouchers.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah. There you go. You're finally cashing it in.
It ended up working out because Luke, remember that there was one day when I remember, because I was working, I was like, "Hey, I've been awake for 35 hours straight." Yeah. That was the night that like we got to go back, and me and Zach like went to Waffle House like 2:30 a.m. like an hour away, and then drove all the way down. Worth
it.
Oh
my god,
it was worth it.
What time did you see it? Was it like a 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock showing?
No, it was like 11:45 p.m. was the start time for the movie.
Brutal. Oh my god. See, I get why you just. I mean, at that point, because the movie was 3 hours long, anyways, you might as well just. Yeah. Stay up anyways. That's funny. Right. I saw this picture of it was like a clip. It was a 3:15 a.m. Dune IMAX showing. And then it was most filled up, and then there was this one seat in the front. And it was just like the one guy, just like it was that Willem Dafoe meme where he's just like looking up the whole time during it.
That's
so funny.
That's crazy.
I'll say though, like the IMAX up in Buford, I think it would be okay being in the front row, because no matter where you are, it feels like the screen is like,
that is true,
your whole face, you know what I mean? So
because that's the only real true like IMAX theater, because some of them aren't like true. Is it 70? I don't know what the difference. It's hard to understand.
There's
sometimes.
IMAX, which is that one, and there's not many in the United States, honestly, so it's really cool that we have one here. And then there's LIMAX, which is the fake IMAX, you know, where they put the name on it, but it's digital and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Not the true image.
It's going to be awesome. Well, cool. Well, last thing that we have is whiskey shots. I don't have whiskey because I'm in Alabama, so we don't have to drink anything. But we always try to use this in honor of our cats, Jack and Whiskey. Luke, long story short, I don't know if you knew this, but Zach was with me when I got those cats 10 years ago, Jack and Whiskey.
Oh, wow.
So Zach was like the godfather of those cats. He helped me name them. And then Whiskey was on the podcast many times. And so we do this in honor of Jack and Whiskey. Cheers.
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 And we always end it by saying, be nice to people and tell somebody that you love them. Or tell somebody that you hate that you love them. So I'll text Corey and tell him that I love him. Just so. that's it, I think, right? That's about it.
I think we're good. Yep.
Luke, I hope you had fun.
It was great.
And we
thanks for being on.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What a movie great to discussion. Do it on. Yeah, it was awesome. Luke, where can they find there's an Instagram page for the film, right? And where can they find you, that kind of stuff?
It's there. The film is The Space Between Film, all underscores between the words, on Instagram. You can find me wherever on the internet. Just search. Well, actually, there's a lot of Luke Baker, surprisingly. There's over 600. So my name is not very unique. But I'm on Instagram at Book Laker. So that is my... I back in the day, I when you switch the two words of your first name or two letters of your first name, it works. So that is my unique handle.
That's funny. Cool. Yeah. And be sure to look out. I think we decided we're just going to drop on March 13th, next Wednesday, our little special preview review. Those are opposites, but
yeah,
our preview discussion of the space between. And as usual, Zach, you can find Zach. I'm not sure why I jumped right to you, Zach, but I am. You can find Zach on Instagram at Zach with an H, two, the number, T-H-A, future.31. You can find me at Hunter Callahan Music everywhere. You can find the podcast at But Is a Good Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, and B-I-I-G Podcast on X. And you can email us at budisagoodpodcast@gmail.com. BIIGpodcast@gmail.com and budisagood@gmail.com. It's a mouthful. But cool. Yeah. Luke, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Real quick before we go, Zach, you first, then Luke, and then I'll go. Zach, who's winning Best Picture?
Oh, God. Who do I want to win or who's winning?
Who's winning? We can go over who we want to later.
Oppenheimer.
Okay, Luke, what about you?
Yeah, probably Oppenheimer, unfortunately.
Yeah, probably.
It's just,
I liked it.
I liked it, but like there's so much better ones. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's at least three better ones than Oppenheimer.
There's the movies that hit our heartstrings, and then there's the movie that's going to win.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
And I loved Oppenheimer. You know?
That's like, true. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, no, it was Zach, great. I really
enjoyed
it.
We had this episode. Zach had this whole monologue, and it actually won me over when we discussed, we're rambling now, the best picture of the movie, the best movie of the podcast last year. It was down between Oppenheimer and Poor Things, and Zach had this whole spiel where he said basically that. He was like, there's movies that are great, and then there's movies that are great and make you feel something. And I was like, okay, you win. You got it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that's about it. So we'll see you guys next week for Dune. Dune 2.
Dune 2.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
But Is It Good Podcast? Yeah.